Hallelujah. It's going to have to be God, but we love him anyhow. So, you know, for 7 minutes, I could just get up here and say God is good for 7 minutes, and y'all just going to have to help shout. But I really believe I heard from God, and let me start this timer so I make sure I'm at least close to it. I'm going to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10. I want to give honor to Brother Stevenson for allowing me to get up here. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 and jump down to verses 17 through 19. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face and into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Verses 17 through 19. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I behold Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You may be seated. If I was coming from a topic tonight, we're just going to call it No Man Left Behind. The phrase, leave no man behind, is often associated with the military and is part of what they call the soldier's creed. And it emphasizes the commitment to rescue or recover every fellow soldier from the battlefield. The phrase is deeply ingrained in military echoes and represents the bond and brotherhood among service members. The soldier's creed has about 13 different ideas. And just to list three is I will always place the mission first. One of them reads, I will never quit. And one of them says, I will never leave a comrade behind. And as I'm going through this passage, I start to read that there's obviously a need for workers because there's people out there that are not saved yet, people that don't necessarily are they're lost and they need help finding a hand, and there's a shortage of laborers, and God's calling some people to action. He's calling, and he's sending them out two by two because he knows that one might get weak along the way, and the other one's going to have to encourage the other one. Pretty much, I've got your back, you've got my back. And I believe here in this church that we've got each other's backs, that when we go out, that there's sometimes Brother Caleb's going to need some encouragement and need help along the way because it gets tiring out on the battlefield sometimes. And there's sometimes that you might need a little strength and encouragement, and I'll come along, brother, you got this. Keep doing it. God's got you. You're going to make it. Never quit. The mission's first. Keep pushing. There's people that need you. There's people counting on us out there. Keep pushing. So he sent them out. And as they're gone, they come back. Well, he first tells them, I'm going to send you forth as lambs among wolves. That lets you know that the battlefield's ugly. You got to get a little dirty. You got to get a little mud on your clothes because it's not going to be just field and daisies when you get out there. And the beautiful thing is, you know, when we're as lambs, we're innocent as lambs are innocent and pure, and he sends us out in a way to where we're supposed to be a perfect representation. Yes, we're going to fail along the way, but as much as a representation of him as we can be while we're out there. And there's going to be people in the enemy that does not like what you're doing. But the beautiful thing about wolves and lambs is whenever a wolf comes up, the shepherd stands in the gap. So when you're out there and you feel like you're all alone, it's not your fight to fight. You just keep pushing forward towards the mission because the shepherd's going to step in and guard you. You keep reading down. He said, don't bring a purse nor scrip nor shoes and salute no man by the way. What he's meaning by salute no man by the way, he's pretty much telling you don't take much time conversating. There's a mission. There's a mission. We're out here for a purpose. We're not out here to just, you know, take our time. And it's, you know, the time is now for us to reach. The time is now. The harvest is plentiful. It's time to reach now. Now is the time. The kingdom of God is at hand now, not tomorrow. It's at hand right now. He's telling them, I need you to be haste in what you're doing. I don't need you to bring nothing that you could lean on. I want you to lean on me. Don't bring an extra pair of sandals, because when those wear out, I want you to lean on me. Don't bring a bag that you can carry your stuff in. I don't need you to carry nothing with you. I just need you to lean on me. And it's so easy to carry stuff with our, go out there with our own ideas and how we're going to do it, but God just needs a mouthpiece and a vessel that somebody can go out and he say, go where I tell you to go and say what I tell you to say. Then it goes down, and he pretty much, in, you know, the question in my mind, he tells us not to bring all these things, so what's going to take the place of this? And he tells you in verses 17 through 19, behold, I give unto you power. Well, where does that power come from? Well, Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So he said, I'm going to take all these physical things that you think you need, and I'm going to give you the one thing you need on the inside. So when you go out, I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to tell you where to go. I'm going to lead you to the waters when you get thirsty. I'm going to lead you to shelter when it starts to rain. I just need you to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. You know, I was talking to my wife, and I'm preaching this straight to me. I should be looking at a mirror, but there's, I drive through Catahoula Parish all throughout the week, and I see people that are just broken, just completely broken. They never have to say a word, but you can just see it on their face. And I got home one day, I told my wife, I said, I almost feel like a selfish person. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I've went all day seeing these broken people that don't know what it's like to not be bound and don't know what it's like to feel peace, don't know what it's like to feel joy. And I'm sitting here with all of these benefits in a church surrounded by people that got my back. And these people are all alone. And they don't have nobody. When I get in trouble or need help, I know I can call about 10 or 50 of y'all in here. And y'all are coming. But there's people out there that have nobody in their contacts to call. They're by themselves. They don't have nothing. And they need somebody that's going to have their back, that's going to love them, that's going to show them the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to finish with this. There's a story that I read a long time ago. It was an old man that sat on the porch and drank coffee by the beach, and he looked in the distance, and there was something scattered all along the beach, and it was a bunch of starfish that had washed up from a storm. And in the distance, he saw a young little boy that was just walking by, and every so often, he'd pick one up and throw it in the water. Pick one up and throw it in the water. And the old man decided to come down, and he asked the boy, he said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm just throwing these starfish back in the water. And he said, but I'm worried. The old man told him, I'm worried you're not going to make a difference. And as he said that, the little boy reached down and picked one more up and threw it in. He said, I made a difference to that one. And he went by and picked another one. I'm going to tell you, we might not can reach the whole world, but we all can reach somebody. We all can do something. Hallelujah. Thank you, church.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Caleb. Wonderful word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to the word. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1, 2, and 3. I give honor to my pastor tonight. Give honor to the ministry and the great leaders and the saints of this wonderful church. I'm thankful tonight that I know God. There's nothing better. I hadn't ate since 1 o'clock, so Lord, if you'll let that be my fast. When you found it, say amen. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I'm going to talk or preach or whatever the Holy Ghost lets me do here. My title is going to be Between the Who and the What. Let's go to the Lord right now. Father, we love you, Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God, to bring your word tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you would bring the anointing, God, and that you would let whatever you want done here in these next 5 or 6 minutes be done, Lord. And may you be glorified, and may the church be blessed. And you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be seated. Hallelujah. The scripture said, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we will be. But when we see him, we will be like him. You could say, now are you the sons and daughters. Because in the King James, when it said son, when God created man, he was talking about both. Male and female created he them. Hallelujah. So now are we the sons and daughters of God. And it doth not yet appear what we will be. But when we see him, we will be like him. Hey, church, there's coming a day. Hallelujah. There's coming a day when we're gonna see him. Hey, that promise in the Word of God. The Bible said that he is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. God is going to do what he said he was going to do. He's coming back to planet Earth. The scripture said that it would be like it was in the days of Noah, that it would be like it was in the days of Lot. We're there. We're living in that time when men want to try to say that they're a woman and this and that and the other and all manner of sin and all the things that's going on in the world. We are living in that time. And that is lightning is going to flash. The thunder is going to roll. And in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen. Jesus is coming back. He's going to burst that eastern sky wide open. And if you got the Holy Ghost, guess what? You're going to be caught up with him. If you hadn't already went by way of the grave, we're going to be caught up with him to be with him forever. That's what we're going to be. We're sons in God now. We're the sons and daughters of God now. We're going to be like him one day. We're going to have a glorified body. We're going to be immortal. We're going to be in a place called heaven for eternity. I'm telling you, I'm excited about that. It's the streets of gold, that's going to be good. Walls of jasper, I mean, that's good. But like that song that Brother Spanky sings, we're going to be with Jesus. That's why I want to go to heaven. Like that old song leader said, I want to see him with these eyes. I want to look at Jesus one day. And that's going to happen to me if I keep myself in an altar. But between the who and the what, I've got work to do. I've got to keep myself unspotted. I've got to keep myself pulled out of this world. I've got to keep myself dead on an altar. And I've got to keep the Holy Ghost inside of me. Everywhere I go, everything I do is about the Lord. As I begin to think about what Brother Caleb was preaching, we have got to do the work of God. What are we going to do? We don't know everything that we're going to do between now and then. I don't know everything that's going to happen in my life between the who and the what. I don't know all the answers, but I know a God that knows all the answers. I serve a God that has all the answers. I know a God that has all power in heaven and in earth. And he knows all things. And he knows the way that I take. And if I'll keep my hand on the plow, and I'll keep looking unto Jesus, and I'll not look to the left or to the right, and I'll look straight on to him. One day when that trumpet sounds, I'm going to be caught up to be with him. That's what we're working for. And like my brother said, we got to pull as many as we can with us. What am I going to do between now and then? What am I going to do between the who and the what? I'm going to love the brethren. That's what I'm going to do. Because if you go over a few verses later, it said this is how they will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. For God is love. He that loveth is born of God. He that knoweth God has love in him. He that knoweth not God has no love in him. I've got to love my brother. I got to love my sister. I got to love. We got to love one another. And we got to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Like my brother said, that's what we got to do. Between the who and the what, we got to work. We got to work. We got to love one another, and we got to work because there's a world that's dying out there. There's a world that's going to go to hell. I was in Houston, and I was on my way out. I was checking out, and I'm coming to a close. I was on my way to check out. People behind me in the line, the manager was standing by the lady that was checking me out, and all I said was, Jesus loves you, and I do too. And she broke down. She began to weep and to cry right there, right at that countertop. And God said, right here and right now, this countertop has become a pulpit. And I began to teach the Godhead to her. And I began to teach to her about what it means to be baptized in Jesus' name. And she confessed to me that last night I was praying and asking God, I need answers. I don't know what to do. And you walked up and you said, Jesus loves me and you love me. She said, I need to know what to do. And I shared the gospel with her. And I connected her with people that's going to baptize her in Jesus' name. She confessed to me that I'm having thoughts of suicide. God sent me a life ring today. Church, they're out there by the multiplied thousands, by the millions. And if we'll do the work, if we'll love one another, if we'll preach the gospel, and we'll get them gathered up into the house of the Lord, God, one day we'll see him when we get there, and he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Let's preach with the pastor.
Oh, let's stand and clap our hands unto the Lord, shall we? Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Bible says if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. We all know what God can do. But there's a world full of dying people that need to know what God is able to do. Amen. Proverbs chapter 30, I will read one verse of scripture in your hearing. To all of our guests, we welcome you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord on this Wednesday evening. Amen. I won't hold you long, but I do have something I felt the Lord laid on my heart in prayer, and I want to share it with you tonight. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 28. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. Amen. I want to preach for a little while on this thought. If a spider can make it, so can I. If a spider can make it, there's hope in this house tonight for somebody. Amen. Father, I'm asking for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to just continue to just rest upon this place. There's people here that need to hear the word. There's people here, Lord, that need to respond to the word. God, I pray that before we leave, that hope could be restored to a hopeless mind. Lord, let us today know that you're for us. In Jesus' name, can we clap our hands and give him praise in this place? Amen. Lord, bless you as you're seated. If a spider can make it. You know, there is one objective that we have in this life. And that is to make it to the other side. That other side is heaven. My buddy one time as a pastor went and prayed with someone fixing to go into surgery. And I've noted this, and I've never said it because he told me before I started pastoring, so I always made sure I didn't say this. But he prayed with that lady fixing to go into surgery, and he patted the bed on his way out and said, all right, sis, I'll see you on the other side. Poor choice of words that sent that poor lady into a panic because he was talking about on the other side of surgery. But you know, we've all got one goal, and that's to make it to the other side. Yes, if we're in this thing for any other reason than to make it to heaven, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. Amen? Because it doesn't matter how long you go to a certain church. It doesn't matter how much you give over a lifetime or what your family's done for a church, etc., etc. I've been to some of these churches, and especially some smaller churches, and I know you've probably seen it as well. They'll have everything's got a little metal plate on it. This microphone was donated by the so-and-so family. This over here was donated by this family. And everybody's got ownership of something. And while I understand the concept, and that's a good way to raise money and to get things in a church, all of that stuff's going to burn up. Every one of them nameplates is going to burn up. It's not necessarily what we do on this earth that's going to matter. But what are we doing to prepare for the other side? Friend, you cannot avoid it. There is a day coming where every knee's going to bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You better believe every false prophet is going to declare that Jesus is Lord. You better believe Muhammad is going to declare that Jesus is Lord. You better believe that everything that tried to take attention away from God is going to have to bow its knee and declare that there is one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Aren't you thankful tonight that you know who Jesus is?
God's going to have to help me. First time I've ever preached with this handkerchief. I lost my hanky after Sunday night. I've been in a panic since then. Y'all don't understand it. I've only preached with two hankies since I've been pastor, and I've done lost both of them. Well, thank you. God's helping me. But I'm talking tonight about a God who doesn't give up on people. I'm talking about a God who's got so much grace and mercy. This is how much mercy he's got. He says it's new every morning. It doesn't say it's renewed. It's brand new. That's a lot of mercy. When you think about how many people have ever lived, and then you think about a brand new batch of mercy to match those people every single day. God never had to reach back and get to leftover mercy. But he said, I'm going to give you just a brand new dose of mercy. Friend, I want you to know tonight, the beauty about God is it doesn't matter where you've been. It only matters where you're going. He realizes that we are feeble at best and that we are but dust. And on our best day, we're not good enough to deserve anything from God. But he still says, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Aren't you thankful that you made a trip to an altar? Aren't you thankful that you made a trip to Calvary and you were buried in the blood of Jesus? One thing I know about people, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person that's ever been has been a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. The consequences of sin is separation from God for all of eternity. Death, in its purest form, is not the absence of breath. Yes, the body may die. But death is separation from God. For instance, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, death was not present. Death did not come about until man sinned. Death was introduced when man messed up, because death is separation from God. What was Calvary all about? Calvary was the redemptive power of God, which means I'm going to reverse the curse. The curse is death, and Calvary is the means whereby he abolished death. That's why the Bible says that he got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. It was the one thing that a lamb could not do. There had to be a spotless lamb that said, I'm going to bring redemption. I'm going to bring forgiveness. I'm going to give them an opportunity to spend eternity with me. Friend, when you came to an altar and you repented of your sins, you were buried in baptism in the name of Jesus, and God filled you with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues, you were what the Bible says, born again, where if God came back, you would not die.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Jesus said in John 3:5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Water, baptism. Of the Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues, that he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You hear me when I say, if what they preach in any other church is not founded in the book, then it is not the way. There is only one way, and that way is also known as truth, and that way is also known as life. So you don't give ear to something that's not founded in this book. It's gotta be in the book.
We're trying to get to the king's palace. We've got our eyes on a city, four square walls of jasper, gates of pearl. In fact, scripture says, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men. Do you realize the writer did his best to describe what heaven's going to be like? But it still will fall short when we look at it. We don't have a good enough vocabulary. If God made all of this in 6 days, could you imagine what heaven's going to be like? If he's been crafting and he's been working and he's been preparing. Friend, there's a king's palace we're trying to get to. And one thing that is plaguing people today is the enemy has convinced some people that it's too hard to get there. Listen, heaven will be full of perfect people. But heaven's not for perfect people. Y'all get that? The qualification to make it to heaven is not you got to be perfect. But Brother Britt said it, we'll be like him. So when we do get there, we'll be made perfect. But nobody, if the qualification to make it to heaven was you got to be perfect, then the Lord would be there by himself and the angels. Because nobody meets that criteria. So that's why he said, here's the qualification, whosoever will. He said, I'm going to set the bar so low that every single person can make it. Look, this is how easy it is to make it to heaven, to the king's palace. Even a spider can get there. Now, understand, spiders don't have souls, but this makes for a great message tonight, okay? I'm trying to help somebody who's dealing with discouragement because your past is trying to tell you that you're not good enough to make it to heaven, that there's no way you'll ever do enough to make it to heaven. Friend, Calvary was enough for everybody to make it to heaven. There's enough blood that flowed down Calvary's hill that one drop can wash away a multitude of sin. So I've come to set the record straight tonight. Everybody has a chance to make it to the other side. Think about it. Three things I thought about when I was praying tonight about a spider. If a spider can make it to a king's palace, you've also got to think, where'd that spider come from? Because it didn't start in the king's palace. That spider may have started in a crack house. That spider may have started in an old dilapidated building. That spider didn't start as the most likely to succeed. That spider had a past. But even its past couldn't keep him from making it to a king's palace. And I've come tonight to tell somebody that it does not matter when it comes to God where you start. It matters, do you make it to the king's palace? You may have come out of a crack house. You may have come out of a bad situation. You may have come out of an abusive family. You may have come out of a situation that nobody would desire to be in. But God says, I don't care where you come from. I just want you to make it to the king's palace. I just want you to get your eyes on something farther than where you come from. I've come to tell somebody tonight, don't you look backwards. Don't you let your past disqualify you. Don't you let your past hinder you. I don't care where you've come from. The mercy of God can reach further than you can see. Oh, that old hanky's helping me tonight. That hanky and the Holy Ghost. Because we got far too many people that are letting what God delivered them from keep them from where God's trying to bring them to. The problem with the blood is that God can't see under it, but we can. When God washes our past, washes our sin in that precious blood, he can't see it. But we can't forget it. And we allow what we can't forget to prevent us from imagining where we could be. You see, inside of every one of us is a dreaming nature. Everybody dreams. Everybody's got goals. How many times have you heard of athletes saying, I dreamed of this since I was a little kid? I use myself. I could take you to places in my life where God showed me I'd be preaching overseas to thousands of people. And I'd be preaching youth camps overseas. I saw it when I was a teenager. And I've lived long enough to see it come to pass, the very thing that God showed me and gave me dreams of when I was just a young boy or a teenager. Everybody's got a dream in nature. And the goal of the enemy is to lock up your imagination and not let you dream of what God can do through you and keep you thinking on the past. That's why Paul said, I press toward the mark, reaching forth in those things that are before, forgetting those things which are behind. You can't look two directions at the same time. Either you're going to focus on the past, or you're going to look to what God wants to do through you and in your family. One of them's filled with torment. The enemy's going to mess with your mind. And I've come tonight to tell you, you need to take your eyes off of what God delivered you from. And you need to leave it in the past. You need to leave it under the blood. And you need to look to what God wants. I'm talking to people that God wants to use. I'm talking to people that God has ministries for and plans for. Doesn't matter where you've been. That spider, sooner or later, he realized There's a king's palace that I can get to. He kept his eyes on the king's palace. Bible said that spider taketh hold with her hands. She just began to work. You know, I don't know all the scientific things about spider webs and spiders, and this ain't a nature course tonight. But one thing I know is that webs are not built one web at a time. They're built one strand at a time. And they just keep working. Little bit at a time, they just keep working. Until you see this beautiful web, if you want to call it beautiful, they're a nuisance, but you see this beautiful web just a little bit at a time. You know how you're going to make it to the king's palace? One day at a time. You're not going to get to the king's palace 1 year at a time. You're going to get where you're trying to get one day at a time. I've told people before who struggle with certain things, don't try to live and be delivered for a month. Don't think a month. Let's think an hour. Let that hour turn into 6 hours. Let that 6 hours turn into 24 hours. Just do it a day at a time. If you can live for God one day at a time, then you'll live for God 1 month at a time. Then a year, and you'll look back and realize that God wove this beautiful tapestry. And he didn't do it all at once. He did it just a little bit at a time. I'm going to mature them just a little bit at a time. There's some of you need to stop focusing on the big picture and realize, let God take care of the big picture, and you just do what you can do one day at a time. You just keep praying one prayer at a time. You just keep reading one chapter at a time, and let God develop you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If he's the author, that means he's holding the pen. And as long as you're still breathing, he's still writing. There's some of you, your greatest chapter has not been wrote yet. Your greatest song has not been sang yet. And if you don't watch it, you're going to think that your greatest days are behind you. Friend, if your greatest days are behind you, then why are you still living? I'm thankful for everybody else's stories, but I'm telling you, God's got greater stories sitting right here on these pews of provision and power and promise that he wants to bring to pass, and he's going to do it one miracle at a time. Finally, that spider was determined. Somebody, somewhere, knocked that spider's web down. That's what we do. I've walked through that life center. I've seen, and around here, I've seen Sister Linda. I've seen different ones clean spider webs. And I mean, you just come back in a few days, there's that spider web again. You know what that tells me about that spider? They were determined. And if you're going to make it to the king's palace, if there's any other trait you got to have, I'm going to tell you what you got to have. You got to have determination. Because there's going to be people, and there's going to be circumstances that's going to come along and knock your feet out from underneath you. You're going to feel so deflated. You can't stop the seasons of life. You can't stop the storms of life. And you can't stop people from being people, even if they got the Holy Ghost. But somewhere along the way, that spider has to get back up and say, I'm almost where I want to be. Rejoice not against me, my enemy, for when I fall, there's something inside of me that says, I'm getting back up. I've come tonight to tell tell somebody it's time to get back up and get your determination about you that I'm going to make it to heaven. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm going to make it to the King's palace. Come on, stand with me right now. I've come tonight against that mindset that says it's too hard. There's no hope. Let me tell you, we all battle that. Right here, there's been times I'm going, what is the use? I can't even make it. I'm a human. Can I just be transparent? I know y'all thought me and Gabriel talk on Mondays. We all have that Elijah experience in that cave. Anybody know where that cave's at? We all take turns going to that cave. God, old Jazzy's coming after me. I'm the only one trying to do right, God. Hey, I had a pity party in the cave. You know what? You read this book. I ain't never found anybody jumping up and down shouting in a cave. Nobody. Everybody has pity parties in caves. God said, hold it, buddy. I got thousands you don't even know about. Don't think you're the only one. What'd the writer say? Think it not strange when fiery trials come your way. In other words, don't sit there and act like I'm the only one. Woe is me. God doesn't love me, et cetera, et cetera. Somewhere along the way, you got to have a determination about you. We've all had those moments. There have been times I was evangelist. I was my world was so upside down. I was driving a 05 Chevy Blazer with no air condition. And that's fine in the winter, but it is not fine in the summer. And I would wear a white t-shirt and my suit breeches and my shoes, pouring sweat. Pouring sweat trying to make it to wherever I was preaching. And I'd pull over and I'd dry off, go in a gas station, dry off, put my suit jacket on, my tie. Here I am showing up. I'm the evangelist. Preaching faith, preaching provision. And I'd get back in that sweat box going, God, what in the world am I doing? Can I just be honest with you? I'm telling everybody else God knows where you're at, and I'm sitting here going, you don't even know where I'm at. We all can get so low we can walk under the door. We all want to throw in the towel at times because we judge God's love for us by his action or his inaction. Let me tell you something. If God never did anything else for you, he still loves you. We can't measure God's love by what he does for us, because if we use that as a balancing scale, then it would be messed up all the time. Because some people, it looks like heaven opens up on their life and they got everything. And then other people, Ethiopia, starving, dying of starvation. So we can't measure action by love. You got to realize that the king wants everybody to make it to his palace. The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me tell you, everybody in this building, God went to Calvary for. Every person in this sanctuary tonight, the ground is level at Calvary. And it doesn't matter how you walk up. It doesn't matter how much baggage you leave. And if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I've never received the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues. Friend, I wouldn't leave this house tonight without getting my own personal experience with God. Walking out of this place knowing that I'm full of the Holy Ghost. But let me preach to other people that you've been trying to live for God the best of your ability. And the enemy's having a heyday in your mind. And almost convince you, what's the use? I'm telling you, if a spider can make it to the king's palace, then we all have a chance to make it to the other side. You need to get back up. You need to get back up. You need to get back up. I'm telling you, there's mercy for you tonight. There's forgiveness for you tonight. There's redemption for you tonight. Come on, musicians and singers. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you to be honest with me tonight. If you're here tonight and you say, Preacher, the enemy has been messing with my mind, and it's like the war will not stop, and no matter how hard I try, I can't pull out. I want you to raise one hand. Nobody's looking around tonight. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. I'm talking to people that the enemy has been messing with your mind. The enemy has been just trying to convince you, what's the use? Well, God sent you a preacher tonight to tell you that you can make it. You can make it if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How did I do that, preacher? You repent of your sins. You ask God to forgive you of everything you've done wrong. You lift your hands and start saying, I love you, Jesus. That's called praising God. And before long, you'll start saying something that you don't even know what you're saying. That's the Holy Ghost. It's God fills you with His Spirit, and you speak in a heavenly language, and you're baptized in Jesus' name. That's when God gives you what we call the new birth according to Scripture. And once you get that, you walk in the grace of God. You walk in the forgiveness of God. I'm talking tonight to people who you've been living for God for quite a long time, but you still know what it's like to get knocked down. You still know what it's like to wake up and say, God, I'm trying. I'm trying to do the best I can. And God says, I got mercy for you. Yes, Lord. Yes. There's no way you could ever imagine how much mercy is in this room tonight. Everybody here, if you want a fresh touch of mercy, I want you to lift your hand. That should be everybody in this building. I couldn't imagine not needing God's mercy. I couldn't imagine saying, no, preacher, I'm fine. I don't need God's mercy. Everybody needs God's mercy. Everybody. I want to invite you, if you raised your hand, I want you to make your way to this front, and we're not going to come and we're not going to kneel. We're going to come to this front and lift our hands. We're going to come boldly, the Bible says, before the throne of God and lift our hands to heaven and ask God to help us today.